Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, the buy now, pay later topic is very hot in the payments industry right now, and it's something that we discuss quite frequently on Payments Journal. But on this episode, we wanted to take a look at it from a different lens, the repayment lens. Now, for those who follow the BNPL space, you might be aware that delinquencies are high for that space, but a possible solution for organizations that they may want to consider is ACH. But why, might you ask? Well, to unpack that question and more, I'm joined by Brad Smith, who is not just Senior Director of Industry Engagement and Advocacy, and Sarah Grotta, who is Mercator Advisor Group's Director of the Debit and Alternative Products Advisory Service. So there's a lot of data and insight to unpack on today's episode, so without any further delays, let's start the show.
So Brad and Sarah, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today's episode. We're really going to be taking a deep dive around the buy now, pay later topic, and specifically kind of relating that to ACH payments as well here. Now, Sarah, I know that you recently had a report that's taking a look at buy now, pay later, and there are certainly some interesting data and statistics from there. And we've got this fantastic visual that I'd like it if you could unpack for our audience here today. So maybe, Sarah, just as a reminder to our audience, apologies, that you're going to be able to view this visual that we're unpacking in the article below. So Sarah, perhaps maybe you could unpack it, maybe pull out some of the key highlights that our audience should really be paying attention to.
Yeah, thanks, Rain. You know, buy now, pay later is such a fascinating topic for those of us who have interest in payments. And a whole lot has been written about it, certainly in the last year, where I think buy now, pay later has just absolutely exploded as a new way to make payments. And, you know, I think what we're seeing in the marketplace today is really two different forms of buy now, pay later. There's one type, which is kind of like a personal loan. So they tend to be for purchases made for larger items, you know, more expensive items, say, you know, over $1,000. And we also see a lot of activity around, I think what most people are probably most familiar with are some of those pay in X model, which is, you know, pay in three installments or pay in four installments, where a consumer can go out and purchase something either in store or online. You know, maybe they want to buy a new pair of sneakers or something, and then they have the opportunity to pay for that item without an interest charge, but extend the payment over three or four different payments, separate payments, that the buy now, pay later provider will manage. So I think what we've heard a lot about is the phenomenon of, you know, being able to make purchases that way, and, you know, really sort of the implications of buy now, pay later on the credit card marketplace. But kind of my interest in this is kind of how are the repayments happening? And Ryan, I'm finally getting to the chart that we have here and provided to our listeners and readers, is that we are finding that users of buy now, pay later do have a choice of payments to use when they want to repay back the purchase that they have made. So sometimes we'll see credit being offered, certainly debits offered. And I think what's really interesting and a lot about what we're going to talk about here today is that ACH can also be a payment type that's offered to buy now, pay later users. And I've found that some of the largest providers of buy now, pay later are actually offering ACH as a payment type. And you'll see that in the chart provided.
Yeah, Sarah, thank you so much for unpacking that. I'm kind of a little bit curious, maybe Brad, from your perspective at Nacha, maybe you've got maybe a little bit of data and insight as well that's coming from your organization that kind of relates to some of that chart that Sarah was unpacking there.
Yeah, first of all, I think that we see only 50% of those merchants are offering ACH. So I have my job well-defined standing there in front of me. But from a buy now, pay later phenomenon, if you will. I think that there's true merchant value here for buy now, pay later, and that's why we've seen it grow, or at least it's expected to grow over the next few years. One of the PayPal studies says that 64% of consumers are more likely to purchase whatever they have in their cart if they're offered a 0% option to pay. And again, over installments and 0%. And shopping cart abandonment is a big deal in the merchant space, especially or mostly online, obviously. 42% of merchants see their shopping cart abandonment reduced if they have a buy now, pay later option there. So I think the real value and the real growth is merchants are anxious to get this going, and more merchants will be adding this very quickly if they aren't doing it currently.
Yeah, and Brett, I think that, you know, when you were saying buy now, pay later phenomenon here, you know, I think that word is very accurate for what's going on, because, you know, buy now, pay later is not a new concept. I mean, I think when I was younger, it was essentially called layaway, or to the same degree as that. However, it's certainly a very hot topic right now. You know, I don't think that you can read many payment-related headlines here without coming across buy now, pay later. But why do you think that is? Why do you think there's all of a sudden this, I'll call it a resurgence of buy now, pay later?
Yeah, I like that question. I think it's the merchant value is one, as I mentioned before. But I think that, you know, there are consumers out there in that millennial age group that might be a little bit averse to using credit. So I think that they're more into being able to spread out the payments as opposed to putting everything on a card. They'd rather have the opportunity to pay that out over the course of 3 months or 4 months, or for larger ticket items, like Sarah mentioned, it could be 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, you know, just to sort of tag on to that too, I think it's a little bit of the sign of the times too. You know, I think a lot of individuals, given what's happened during the pandemic, they've had a lot of income volatility. Where, you know, they're really not sure, you know, what they're going to be earning over the next, say, month or so. So the opportunity to kind of plan for certain purchases in smaller increments can be really helpful.
Yeah, Sarah, I think I've really got to kind of agree with that. You know, being a millennial myself, I do certainly see or view buy now, pay later as really kind of that, almost like a budgetary tool, in essence, that, okay, if I make a purchase, I can, you know, span it over, you know, the three, the four, that type of a thing. But Brad, a quick follow-up to that question that I had, kind of relating it to really the conversation we're having today, is then, you know, how is buy now, pay later, this phenomenon, really impacting ACH? Particularly?
Yeah, we don't have specific data necessarily about buy now, pay later options. We are beginning to work with a group that will be able to do more deep dive into the current data we have. We don't have any data scientists on staff, so we are farming that out. So we hope to learn more about that over the coming months. So we look forward to being able to unpack that when that happens.
Okay, you know, I certainly think that that's fair. But now let's ask from a financial institution perspective here. What, Brad, from let's start with you. What is your view of the financial institution's perspective on buy now, pay later?
Yeah, I think the banks, the financial institutions might have a concern about lost revenue. There was a McKinsey study saying that in 2020, and this is global numbers, that buy now, pay later was a $97 billion industry, which only is like less than 2% of like the global consumer spend. But they also say that buy now, pay later really pulled away about $8 to $10 billion in annual revenue from banks. So if we extrapolate that out, and I think there's a Mercator study that says that buy now, pay later could be a $200 billion business by 2024, that turns into a lot of money for US banks. So I think they need to be concerned by lost revenue from card swipes, whether it's debit or credit, lost revenue from installment loans, things like that. So if banks have not been focused on how to combat this potential loss due to buy now, pay later, they really should be.
Yeah, I think, you know, banks looking at this that are trying to figure out, you know, what can they do about this, you know, and trying to make lemonade out of lemons, I guess. I mean, just any way that, you know, financial institutions can be a part of the repayment option is great. So to the extent that they can get consumers or remind consumers about the opportunity to utilize one of their products for the repayment, including ACH, including their checking account, you know, would be helpful. That way a bank has the opportunity to include themselves in the buy now, pay later, you know, phenomenon or that I guess that individual purchase actually for that consumer and be front and center with the consumer. You know, there's a statistic that I was told that I like to use quite frequently, which is that, you know, most of a consumer's interaction with their financial institution, actually 80% of it is payments related. So to the extent that, you know, consumers and their financial institutions can help consumers to make, you know, putting their checking account information or another bank product as the repayment vehicle will only help to make that connection between the consumer and the financial institution stronger.
Right. And I've seen actually that some financial institutions have become partners with merchants. Barclays and First Citizens have offered their own products to merchants. So those financial institutions can stay right there and being part of that payback process, so as to reduce the potential for loss from other payment types.
Yeah, if we could, let's stay in that vein there, Brad, because I think that you are kind of calling out something important in terms of the different payback methods that are allowed there. And I think that you and Sarah did a fantastic job kind of talking about, well, here's really why financial institutions should really start paying attention to buy now, pay later, and kind of the opportunity, or I guess kind of some of the threat that, because I mean, as you were pointing out, some of the numbers there that can revolve around buy now, pay later from a financial institution's perspective. But let's flip to the other side of the coin of this then, and then ask the question of then, well, why would a buy now, pay later provider want to include ACH as a payment option?
Yeah, I think there's at least a couple of reasons, right? Since the repayment option can be from 3-4 months to 18 months, you know, 24 months, depending on the ticket item. You know, there's a good chance that if a card is used for that repayment, that card could expire over that 4-24 month period. And we know that checking accounts, they don't expire. I mean, we probably all have checking accounts that have had the same number for a very long time. So I think to not interrupt the repayment process by using ACH, where the payment comes out of a checking account, will create a much more steady flow of payments back to the merchant, but also there won't be any need to pick up the phone, get on the email, you know, get into a chat and ask for the new card number. I think that's one. People tend to use their checking accounts for all their purchases, like all of our important purchases and all of our loans, like our mortgage, our car payments, our utilities, even your credit card bills, right, are paid out of your checking account. So I also think that if you get those payments coming out of a checking account by ACH, that you'll see a much more consistent, lower return level type of payment than you would by other payment types.
All right, Sarah, I didn't know if you had anything addition you wanted to add.
I that was so perfect. I can't think of any report.
Stop flattering me.
Yeah, so Brad, I think then that's kind of interesting. So let me then ask you this before we close out. Are you suggesting then that ACH is the best option for buy now, pay later?
Well, yes. The short answer is yes. I think that you know, and we mentioned the younger millennials up front. I think, you know, they are more averse to using credit products. So I think ACH has to at least be an option at a minimum for buy now, pay later merchants. And not only just an option, but I think it really should be prioritized as the number one payment method. And, you know, they could highlight it on checkout or put a little heart next to it, like whatever they can do at checkout to let them know that this is the best option for payment. And I haven't even touched on the fact that ACH is probably less expensive than those other payment types we mentioned. So if they're offering a longer term loan at 0% and, you know, their margin is slim, offering ACH is going to help those buy now, pay later merchants, you know, keep those costs down. Sorry, I had another thought and I stopped.
No worries. If you want to pause for a second, collect it, and then when you're all set, and then you can kind of just come back in with, you know, like, and another point, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay. And one more thing is that with the tremendous growth of same day ACH, really helping modernize today's ACH network, I really strongly support that buy now, pay later merchants leverage same day ACH as their payment option.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense as well. And, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to offer a repayment type that isn't a credit option, right? Because I think, you know, individuals who are using credit on top of buy now, pay later, it's not necessarily a good mix if the individual is, in fact, you know, perhaps experiencing some financial hardship, or maybe, you know, shouldn't have quite made that purchase in the first place, right? Overextend themselves a little too much. So I think something like ACH is just a much, much better financial planning solution for those individuals who again, might perhaps be overextending themselves just a bit.
Yeah, and I certainly agree with what you're saying there, Sarah, because I mean, especially then from like a budgetary and then also a consumer confusion aspect, right? Because you're kind of going, okay, yep, there was the buy now, pay later that I did. I received this item, and then okay, then now I'm showing it show up on my credit card statement. And, you know, as we certainly seen from data clarity that's going through, it's kind of a, well, wait, what was this? What was going on with this? Like, do I call then my credit card company and kind of go, hey, what was the specific payment things? To me, I am certainly more of the individual that it's kind of a set it and forget it in the sense that, hey, I just want from a consumer standpoint, my financials to be just kind of automated, and that, hey, I know everything else all set, that I know that the payment is going to go through and that I'm not dinged with additional interest or fees or anything like that. So I certainly agree with that aspect as it is there, Sarah. Brad, Sarah, thank you so much for taking the time today for talking to me about buy now, pay later, and also the benefits of ACH with buy now, pay later. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thanks, Ryan.